My preaching tonight may not come to you as what some of you would like, because conferences sometimes are designed to thrill us, excite us, and while that is all well and good, there are some times that we have to preach, and we need to preach about things that are kind of considered sacred cows among us, and things that are not real comfortable. And if you're faint-hearted tonight, you might best take an early departure flight, because I'm going to preach tonight, and if the Lord would help me, I want to help you. I sense that there is a spirit of weariness and tiredness in many of our churches. People are just under the strain, the stress, and pressure. We come to church on conference night in Yuba City. We paste on our best smile. We tell everybody we're doing great, when the fact of the matter is we're not doing worth a rip. We're fighting. That's more Mississippi colloquialism. When we're really in the heat of the battle, we just don't want people to know that we're struggling. And I want to visit with you about this before I read my text, because there's a distinct possibility that some of the precious saints of God that are here just really need to have a greater understanding of who God is in your life. And there's a possibility that some of the pastors need a fresh breath of the Holy Ghost in their heart. And I want to be that kind of blessing to you. Thank you, Brother and Sister Underwood, for your hospitality here in Yuba City. Revelation 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Turn just a couple of pages in your Bible. I didn't plan to read more, but I think I will. In Revelation chapter 19, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I chose to read this last part. It's in my Bible message at the conclusion, but I felt I should go ahead and read it, to let you know at the outset that we've already read the back of the book and we know what's going to happen to the devil. I'm certain he senses that it don't look too good for him even tonight. But Satan is loosed on the earth tonight in America, around the world, in measures that are frightening and shocking. Satan is coming to the ministry and attacking them with everything that he has. Satan is fighting our churches. And brother pastor, if you have the perfect church, rejoice, because it'll probably change before the rapture. We're in the heat of the battle. And the devil is fighting against us like never before. And if God will help me preach the message tonight, I want to preach. If you like titles, I'm going to preach The Battle of the Ages. And there was war in heaven. The Battle of the Ages. Brother Underwood, would you pray?
Loving Father, we are so thankful tonight for those that have gathered together in your house. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for our guest speaker tonight. We pray that you would give us receptive minds and open hearts to hear. Let us hear what the Spirit would say to us, that we would be better servants of yours for tomorrow. Give us the liberty and the freedom and the pulpit and the pew tonight. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. And the church said amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. First of all, I want to establish to the congregation that every one of us is in a battle. And if you're not in the battle, get in it. We need your help. Satan is unleashing every available force against God's people. And if you belong to the school of thought that we're going to enjoy spiritual, financial, and economical utopia until the day of the rapture, you're in a bad era. I do believe that this is the day of revival. But I also believe that these are perilous times. We shall see both prophecies come to pass. It does warm my heart, and I don't say that as a figure of speech. It thrills me to know that where grace, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. The Apostle Paul writes the church at Rome with these statements. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Previously, the Apostle Paul wrote, when I would do good, evil is present with me. That which I would do, I don't do it. That which I would not do, I do that. The Apostle Paul was not giving room to any satanic victories, but he was simply identifying, I'm really in a fight. He wrote the church of Ephesus with these words of advice. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, folks, the devil does not want you to live for God. The devil wants you down and out, disturbed, discredited, distressed, and discouraged. The devil does not want me to preach this message tonight. You'll find out in a few minutes. The devil wants you to be convinced that it's fruitless to try to be a Christian. It's worthless to live for God. And that your life would be better defined if you would, in fact, just go ahead and be an all-American sinner. He will therefore and consequently do everything with his power to block you from faithful church attendance. And do y'all have the same devil in California that we're dealing with in Mississippi? He'll do everything in his power to disrupt every church service that we have. He'll do everything in his power to destroy every local church and every godly pastor. But we're wrestling not with an enemy that we can grapple with our own hands. More monitor, please. We're not wrestling with an enemy that we can physically fight back to. We're battling against the powers and the principalities of the air. Ladies and gentlemen, this battle did not begin when you were born again. It was going on quite a while before then. It did not begin at the turn of the 20th century. It's been going on a long time before then. It did not begin at the birth of the New Testament church in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem. It's been going on a long time more than that. Actually, it started before the serpent beguiled the woman in the Garden of Eden. The battle of the ages would in fact lead us to believe that it began with a thought in Lucifer's mind in Isaiah chapter 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Ambition, selfishness, and pride led Satan to have these eternal desires. I will be like the Most High. Competition began before God ever formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Satan's desire was to lead a confederacy and to dethrone God himself. Not only to be like the Most High, but sit upon the throne. You need to know who you're fighting. His name is Abaddon. His name is Apollyon. His name is the accuser of the brethren. His name is as a roaring lion, the adversary, seeking whom he may devour. He is Belial. He is Beelzebub. He is the god of this world. He is the prince of devils. He is the prince and the power of the air. He is the prince of this world. He is the ruler of darkness. He is the serpent. He is the unclean one. He is the wicked one. He is abominable. He is Antichrist. He was a liar, and he's still a liar. He is a murderer, a deceiver. He is hate. He is jealousy. He is rebellion. He is immoral. He is adultery. He is fornication. He is prostitution. He is homosexuality. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's an angel of light. He's the tares among the wheat. He's the goat among the sheep. He's the blame for alcoholism. He's the blame for drug addiction. He's the blame for syphilis and gonorrhea and herpes and HIV and AIDS. He's the blame for abortion. He's the blame for divorces. He's the blame for suicides. He's the blame for crime. He's the blame for violence. He's the one that's trying to destroy the apostolics in the 20th century. But I've already read the back of the book. I just want you to know who we're fighting. It's going to pick up in a minute, but in a minute, don't you shout when I start preaching about my friend Jesus. If you want to be quiet, be quiet. But after a while, when I start preaching about Jesus, we're going to bind your enemy. We're going to bind the devil that comes against you. Say what you will, but the devil does not want you running around the church. Satan does not want you speaking with other tongues. Satan does not want the gifts of the Spirit to function in our churches. Satan does not want the sinners to receive the Holy Ghost. Satan does not want us baptizing the converts in the name of Jesus Christ. But I've come to serve the devil. Notice, we're going to have a revival. I've come to serve the devil. Notice, we're going to run anyhow. There he goes. I've come to serve the devil. Notice, we're going to shout anyhow. We're going to talk in tongues anyhow. We're going to have church anyhow. Somebody shout for that sister. I think I'll do it all over again. He's Abaddon, Apollyon, the accuser, the adversary, Baal, Beelzebub, the god of this world, the prince of devils, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the ruler of darkness, the serpent, the unclean spirit, the wicked one, abominable, antichrist, a liar, a murderer, a deceiver, hateful, jealousy, rebellion, immoral. I think the devil is a homosexual. Now, that's a calculated statement. I plan to say that tonight. That didn't come off the cuff. That is the sin of our generation. Sodom and Gomorrah continues to live on the streets of North America. And I haven't come to pick on anybody. I haven't come to be abrasive and abusive. But homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle. Homosexuality is still an abomination in the sight of a pure God. And if that don't get you to say amen, nothing else will. Because of Satan, we have 4,300 abortions a day, 125,000 a month, 1.5 million a year. Because of the devil, pornography is an $8 billion a year industry. Six of the monthly best-selling magazines are ranked as adult publications. 500,000 innocent American children are used as pornographic models every year in America. 10 million couples in America live in a homosexual relationship. 65 million Americans practice sexual perversion. Laws are passed almost monthly to protect gay rights in America. 65 million alcoholics. 165 million Americans are affected by alcoholism. 200,000 alcoholics between the ages of 9 and 11. Out of 6 million high school students in America, last week 3 million of them were drunk. The devil's the fault. The devil's making it to be that way. You're right, Brother Sullivan. They need what this church has got. They need the Holy Ghost. They need the joy of the Lord. They need the joy of the Lord. They need the joy of the Lord. I have taken time to read these statistics just to let you know that we're really in a battle. Pancaking for Jesus and going through religious orthodoxy is not going to affect Yuba City. It's not going to affect Reddings and all the cities and the churches in Section 12. We've got to have more than just a song. We've got to have more than just a sermon. We've got to have more than just a building. We've got to have more than Pentecostal ceremony and Pentecostal rituals. We must be infused with the power from on high. We've got to have a supernatural intervention. We've got to have a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would like to tell all of you here tonight that once this church is found in the perfect will of God, there's no demon, there's no devil, there's no enemy, there's no foe, there's no unclean spirit, there's no power of Antichrist that can stand before us. We're the church, the blood-bought church. We're the church, the Holy Ghost church. We're the church, the sanctified church. We're the church. We're in the battle. 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 It's been the battle of the ages. It started with a fault on the part of Lucifer. I will be like the Most High. But the Lord God said through the words of Isaiah, yet thou shalt be brought down to the pits, to the sides thereof. And we know that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Beguiled the woman and lied on God and said to her, if you eat of the forbidden things, thou shalt not surely die, but your eyes will be opened and ye yourself will become as gods. Ladies and gentlemen, he lied to Eve, and if he's telling you that you can sin and go to heaven, he's lying to you. Sometimes we preachers take the easy way out when it comes to preaching. And I'm at a crossroads in this Bible sermon. I feel and sense an easy way all of a sudden to go ahead and respond to this Holy Ghost that's moving in me. And if I keep on massaging what I'm feeling, this thing is going to shout all over the place after a while. But the other direction that I can take is to stay here just where I'm at and deal with the devil just for a few more minutes. Hallelujah. He does not want to be exposed. He wants us to preach in general terms. But he don't want us to name cigarettes and slits and booze and hard liquor. He don't want us to call out the names of books and videos and ungodly literature. He wants us to be just in general. But I've come tonight to take off his mask. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. The second great battle of the ages that I would present to you is when Jesus had concluded his 40-day fast. Afterward, he hungered. And then the devil came to him. The tempter said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. The battle of the ages. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The battle of the ages. It was a slugfest, if you would. However, I don't want to present a picture to you that my Lord is out of breath fighting the devil. I don't want to present a picture to you that Jesus is fatigued because the devil has wore him out. Get real, man. Get a laugh. All he's got to do is to thump him.
That's it. Praise God. Come on.
I'm going to enjoy preaching this tonight, because if you don't fight the devil, friend, I fight him every day. If you don't get me one day, sister, he'll try to get me another way. If he can't discourage you one way, he'll try to discourage you another way. The big thing for him is to get you to quit church, to walk out on God. Ladies and gentlemen, this ain't no time to quit. This is a time to stand up and to claim what our God wants us to have. I don't want to just say this cheaply, but as I said last night, I do travel extensively and preach out a lot, and here and there and yon, and for whatever that's worth. And I really do feel like that some people, when they first hear me, they think that all I am is a Confederate rabble-rouser, and I'm just a guerrilla fighter, and I'm just trying to get people all stirred up and worked up. Now, that's partly true, because as I said last night in Reading, this is no time to... This is no time to put a muffler on our worship to God. There's a difference in racket and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I said there's a difference in racket and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. But I've come to tell you the time has come that God's people with joy and with gladness magnify Him, for He is worthy. Brother Sullivan, get a microphone. Come at me, preach. We're going to preach together. You read one and I'm going to read one. Okay. There. You ready? Turn him up loud. Testing. Testing. Testing.
I'm anointed.
Tell me who he is.
Abaddon.
Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will provide.
Apollyon.
Jehovah Rophika. The Lord that healeth thee.
The accuser.
Jehovah Nissi. The Lord my banner.
The adversary.
Jehovah Elokeha. The Lord thy God.
The Lyle.
Jehovah Mekadistim, the Lord that sanctifies thee.
Beelzebub.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace.
The God of this world.
Jehovah Sibahath, the Lord of hosts.
The Prince of devils.
The Lord, Jehovah Helion, the Lord most high.
The Prince in the power of the air.
Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd.
The Prince of this world.
Jehovah Hosinu, the Lord our maker.
The ruler of darkness.
Jehovah Elohinu, the Lord our God.
The serpent.
Jehovah Nekah, the Lord would guide thee.
The unclean spirit.
Jehovah Sitkinu, the Lord thy righteousness.
The wicked one.
Jehovah Jehimehilo, the Lord our recompense.
He is abominable.
Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. So there's the battle lines. There's the enemy. I would present to you Jesus Christ is the Lord Almighty. He is the Lord thy God. He's the Lord thy master. He's the Lord above all. He's the Lord thy creator. The Lord of the earth. The Lord of glory. The Lord of heaven. The Lord of hosts. The Lord thy king. The Lord of the living. The Lord thy redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ. He does not want your churches to experience the joy of the Lord. He will do everything in His power to bring a cloak of doubt and dread upon your churches. He'll come to you and bring a spirit upon you that will even make you dreading to go to the house of God. You can come to church and you are almost afraid to clap your hands because of just the shrouding spirits that the devil brings against you. At times you feel to worship the Lord with emotional ecstasy, but you are afraid that it may be just not the thing to do. Consequently, you bow your head and you grit your teeth and you quench the spirit. The devil will come to you and battle you in worship service. Preachers, you better hear this sweaty, proud Mississippian. He'll fight you in your sermons. He'll fight you in your prayer life. He'll fight you in your parsonages. He'll fight you in your altars. He'll fight you in your Bible studies. He don't give up easy. He don't give up easy. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. But I've never yet heard where God's church has ever been defeated. I've never read yet where the man of God raised a white flag of proverbial surrender. No, for greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. I've been reaching out this entire service trying to latch in to those of you that I know somewhere along the pathway of life, you're weary and you're worn. You're weary and you're tired. It's not that you want to backslide. No, for the world has nothing for you. It's not that you want to walk out on the good blessings of God, but you're just exhausted. You're just exhausted. You're just exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, be not weary in well doing, for in due season, just keep clapping those hands. In due season, just keep shouting hallelujah. In due season, just keep calling on the name that is above every name, and you will reap if you faint not. Okay, folks, I'm in the battle tonight, and I'm... Don't wipe those tears. Don't wipe those tears, honey. In fact, I want you to stand. You just wiped your face. Would you stand and lift your hands unto the Lord? I've been watching those rivers of tears run down your cheeks for the last 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm not here to pronounce nothing on you, but let you help me preach this tonight. For the devil comes even as I speak and wants these Pentecostals to understand, if they would, that this is not the way to live. This is not the commitment to make. Raise them again, sister. No, honey, this is the only life to live. This is the only place to be. This is the only hope that we have. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is where I want to be. This is what I want to have. And heaven is where I want to go. This may not be big time preaching night, but this is victory night. This may not be camp meeting night, but this is victory night. I come to say to you on the Holy Ghost that it's not the will of God for you to be down and out and discouraged. Think on the goodness of Jesus. I've come to share with you the joy of the Lord is your strength. Pastor Wood, I usually have an idea what I would be preaching long before I go to a conference like this. But if it makes any difference to the audience tonight, I would share with them that the Lord moved on me today to preach this. Sister Odom, you've heard me preach for 30 years, haven't you? But you never heard me preach what I'm preaching tonight. The Lord moved on me and said, preach it tonight. Preach it tonight. Because the people that will be there tonight are hurting. They're struggling. They're wounded. They've been in the heat of the battle. The enemy is about to disrupt their walk with God. I've got pretty sermons if that's what you want. And what I'm preaching tonight is not easy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm paddling every inch of the way, but I know in whom I have believed. I'm paddling for every word. The devil does not want his name to be desecrated, and the devil does not want the name of Jesus to be glorified. I have told you in the spirit, yea, I say to you again, that the devil brings a spirit of weariness and a spirit of exhaustion upon you, but the Lord has come to lift your burdens and to lift your trials, to pour in oil and wine, to bind up your injuries, to take you to an end, and to take care of you. I'm fixing to share something with you folks that's going to shock you. The devil hates your guts. Oh, don't be so crude, Brother Odom. Keep all that back the other way. Mississippi. Friend, it's time to get crude with the devil. We've played tiddlywinks with him. We've tiptoed through the tulips with him. We've had peaceful negotiations and peaceful solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the point that the kingdom of God is suffering violence. And if you're going to have the kingdom of God, you better get violent with what you're doing. I say the kingdom of God, somebody come get her. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. The kingdom of God is suffering violence. And you're not going to have your victory by going through Pentecostalisms. It's time to get tough. It's time to get rough. But you can't do it within yourself. But there's a name that is above every name. There's a power above every power. And in that name and in that power, you will prevail. I don't usually call the play-by-play. I say I don't usually call the play-by-play. But I done been in a huddle. Yeah. And this ain't no PAT. I have come to serve the devil a notice here. You may as well have a seat, sir. I'm fixing to introduce to you the one that's going to defeat you. He is the advocate. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha. And he is the Amen. He's the apostle of my profession. He's the arm of the Lord. He's the author of my faith. And he's the author of my salvation. That ain't nothing, devil. Hold on. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the beloved Son. He's the blessed and only potentate. He's the branch. And he's the bread of life. You think that's something, devil? Get a load of this. He's the captain of my salvation. He's the chief shepherd. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the counselor. And he's the creator. He wants to run. Hold on. That's part of the play, okay? Go ahead and run, son. That's in order. That's right. Dance a while now. And some of you Pentecostals who were sitting back and grinning and saying, oh, ain't that cute? You better get a hold of that yourself, because you're in a battle and you're going to need God to win. He's the day spring. I've been preaching too long, and I've been in the major leagues too long to run when I feel a little kick against what I'm doing. I would not want to foolishly charge anyone that's listening to this message tonight as being the one that would kick against what I'm preaching. First of all, that kick comes from the devil himself. But there are people that would rather come to church and hear parables and prophecies and themes and subjects. While that is good, and it certainly has a place in the pulpit and in the church, we need those things. But I am pressed in the Spirit to declare on this February evening in Yuba City, California, that another parable and another guess at prophecy is not what we need. I have come to tell you that we must be infused with a revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus. He is not in the Godhead. The Godhead is in Him. He is the day spring. He's the deliverer. He's the door. He's the elect. He's the everlasting Father. He's the faithful witness. He's still the first. And He's still the last. And everything between it. He's the first begotten. And He's the forerunner. I certainly do not want to just make riddles in the pulpit. But what I have beheld in the Spirit in the last 60 seconds was a flash of the adversary, that roaring lion, being battered and belted by the authority of this name that I'm preaching. I would pray that the Lord would open your eyes, that you too can see that when you start preaching Jesus and praising Jesus, the devil's got to go. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You don't mix praise and sin. And tonight this place is being baptized with the sanctifying Spirit that is purging all that are here to a new direction, a new lease, a new hope, a new trust in His name. Meanwhile, back to the devil. Hey, devil, he's the glory of the Lord. He's the good shepherd. He's the governor, and he's the high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's the holy child. He's the holy one. The holy one of God. The holy one of Israel. And he's the horn of my salvation. He's the great I am. He's the image of God. I never abusively say things in the pulpit, or I guard myself to say abusive things. But I want all of you to know that Jesus Christ is not the second person in the Godhead. He's the image of God. He's the image of God. That invisible God became flesh. And that flesh was named Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings. And He's the King of saints. He's the lawgiver. He's the Lamb, the leader, the life, the light, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the man of sorrows. He's the mediator. He's the messenger, the Messiah. He's the mighty God, and He's the morning star. He's the Omega. He's the only begotten. He's the Passover. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Life, and He's the Prophet. He's the Redeemer. Partly personal. Come back tomorrow. You may hear some things on this message. I lost my baby less than 2 years ago. She was only 20 years old. And I brought a sermon with me that she wrote the title on the header page for me, hon. And that sermon is entitled The Resurrection. So for those of you that would be embarrassed with me doing this, would you let me speak beyond this veil of tears and to the top of my lungs, would you let me say, Amanda, He is the resurrection and He's the life. He's the Savior. He's the Shepherd and the Bishop of my soul. The Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of the Highest, the Son of Righteousness. He's the true light, the true vine, the truth. He's the witness and He's the Word. He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful. He's faithful. He's gracious and He's glorious. He's holy, but yet He was humble. He is just, and He's justified. He is lowly, yet He's lovely. He is meek, He is merciful, and He is mighty. He is perfect, He is precious, He is pure. He is separate, and He is sinless. He is glorified, He is justified, He is sanctified. He's my Creator. And He's my Counselor. He's my Friend. And He's my Father. He's my Redemption. And He's my Righteousness. He's my Refuge. And He's my Restorer. He's my Brother. And He's my Beloved. He's my Help. And He's my Hope. He's my Song. And He's my Strength. He's my Light. And He's my Life. He's my Healer. And He's my Physician. And He's my Peace. He's my Intercession. He's my Justification. He's my Sanctification. He's my Maker. He's my Master. He's my Hiding Place. He's my Resting Place. He's my Feeder. He's my Keeper. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my all. And He's my all. He's my Bread. He's my Water. He's my Shelter. He's my Trust. He's my Keeper. He's my Provider. He's my God. So those are the adjectives and the titles. I've introduced to you the champion of the underworld, Apollyon, Abaddon, adversary, Belial, Beelzebub. I've introduced to you the great liar, the great murderer, the great deceiver, the rebellious one, the serpent, the unclean one, the Antichrist, the devil. He's the champion of hell's angels. He's the champion of the worldly crowd. But standing in yonder corner is He who has never suffered a defeat. He who has never capitulated. He who has never surrendered. I have come with an anointed prophetic word to speak to this audience. And I pray the Holy Ghost will give my words wings and they will fly beyond these walls. I want my words to penetrate the very chambers of hell itself. I have come to declare to hell, you're loose tonight, and you brought sin on the face of the earth. You're causing divorces in families, drug addiction, alcoholism, social transmitted diseases. Go ahead, devil, you're having your day, but the church is about to arise with the authority of heaven's name. In the name of Jesus, I bring into authority every foe that fights against you individually. years ago when I was in school, that's Bible college, and as I was instructed in the fine tunings and the fine points of homiletics, the preparation and the delivery of a public sermon, my tutors and mentors taught me, never publicly take a negative thought to the pulpit. Never take a subject to the pulpit that the devil can, in the spirit realm, monopolize upon and bring diversion in the audience. And I tell you that I was a good apprentice. I put into practice what I had been taught. I preached love until I looked like a honeycomb. I was sweet, baby, from head to foot. I preached love and I preached grace. And I preached joy and I preached kindness. And that needs to be preached. And if you choose to disregard my next few sentences, that is your prerogative. But I'm not preaching 30 years ago. And I'm not preaching to the same generation. And I'm not dealing with the same social circumstances. I am seeing the prophetic utterances of the Isaiahs and the Ezekiels come to pass in the daily newspapers. I can read the daily newspaper and the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 almost synonymously. Prophecy is snowballing. Prophecy is steamrolling. And the multitudes are plunging into a godless eternity. I'm not discounting love. I'm not discounting grace. I'm not discounting mercy. But I have come tonight as a messenger of hope to publicly identify your enemy. Your enemy, the devil, is as a roaring lion. Don't be afraid of me. But the devil just came and challenged my statements, and you let me preach for just a moment. I rebuke you, Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I'm calling you what you are. I'm stating publicly that you are a liar. You hear me, O Spirit, you that I cannot behold with mine eye, but I have put on the whole armor of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if this tends to make you afraid, that's not my motive. But this evening when I finish my final preparation of this Bible message, as I knelt at that motel bedside, my wife will verify that I whispered the name of Jesus. And as I was whispering the name of Jesus, Abaddon and Apollyon and the unclean one and the Antichrist came and stood close to me and said, I would urge you not to preach that tonight, because if you do, I'm going to come back and fight you now. If you do, I'm going to make you regret it. Okay, devil, I've already put that under the blood. I'll deal with you after a while. But right now, I'm going to call you what you are. You are a liar. You are a cheater. You are a deceiver. I rebuke you. God help us! God help us! Suddenly I feel like I'm almost an apologist in the pulpit, having to apologize for what I'm saying. I'm not talking about dealing with the spirit of a man. I'm talking about the Antichrist that absolutely refuses to yield to what I'm preaching tonight. What time is it? Am I finished? Have I preached enough? Is it midnight yet? I need to. You're here tonight, Job. Brother Soundman, if you have the proper knobs on your mixer, I want you to give me a lot of reverb on my mic. Where are you, Job? Where are you, Job? There's a Job sitting in this room right now. Job, you may not be aware of it, Job, but Satan, the accuser of your walk with God, in the hour that I currently speak, could be negotiating to try to destroy you. But your God who has saved thee from darkness has confidence in you, Job, that you will cling to the horns of the altar. Your God who has delivered you from darkness has confidence in you that when your 20-year-old daughter dies, you will still preach Jesus. Yay! Your God is confident in you when your body is racked with the pain from terminal cancer, that you will still say, yay, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Your God is confident in you when your body is twisted with arthritis, aching with rheumatism, your blood pressure is high, your blood pressure is low. Your God is confident in you when your head throbs with migraines, you suffer from lupus, diabetes, and other failing diseases. He has confidence in you that you're not going to point your finger in God's face and curse him. That's all the devil wants you to do, Job, is to curse God. I was talking to my pastor last night as he was driving me to Reading. I told him that for some reason I don't have this gift of calling out people. He just called me to preach. And I think when he heard me, he almost backed out on me. But no doubt in this room tonight, some of you are so sick in your body. And you've been to your doctor, and your doctor has said, you're going to get worse and not better. We're going to treat it with antibiotics and drugs and various medications. We'll do our best for you. And you bring that to the house of God, and you bring your aches and your pains with you. Now, to expand on that, there are some of you that's come to church only out of duty and obligation. But you're so discouraged. Repeating in the chambers of my mind, if I need to say this, I will. Even preachers and pastors can get under the load so much that they simply become perfunctionaries in the pulpit. Stand and sing, clap your hands, praise the Lord, take an offering, preach a sermon, benediction, go home, and we stumble out of the pulpit into the parsonage. I'm telling you, the devil is doing everything that he can to bring a pressure against us. Pressure. Pressure, pressure. Pressure's on the job. Working against deadlines. Your job is soon to be expired because of the economy. Your company is cutting back. Layoffs are coming. You've got the mortgage bill, the car note. You've got the family needs. You've got food. You've got clothing. You've got education. You've got, and it's pressure. It's pressure. And 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 you're sick, and it's pressure. And you're diseased, and it's pressure. And you're discouraged, and it's pressure. And it's pressure on the job. And it's pressure in the home. You and your wife are speaking short to each other. You are bracing with the kids. You come to church and you're tuned out. You're not in touch because pressure, 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 pressure.